Ball with Babe Ruth. Play Ball with the Navy. The United States Navy brings you the adventures of Babe Ruth. And here to tell you about the immortal Babe is the man who knew him so well, his pal, the popular sports reporter, Steve Martin.
It was the seventh game of the World Series. The score was tied and Babe Ruth was at bat. A home run would win the series for the Yankees and new laurels for the big fella. But I sat there praying that he would strike out and so save his life. It was the last game of the season, and all of the Yankees were on the field except one. The greatest Yankee of them all was mysteriously missing. And in the clubhouse, little manager Huggins was having a fit. Me, I was worried.
My thing. How do you like that, Steve? The game starts in a minute and the Babe isn't here.
Gee, I hope nothing happened to him, Hug.
What can happen to him? He's out having a good time.
Oh, no, Hug. The big fellow wouldn't miss a game on purpose, especially with the World Series starting tomorrow.
That's just it. The series starts tomorrow, so he figures today's game isn't important, even though the stands are jammed with fans who want to see him belt one. That guy is getting too big for his britches.
Now, you're wrong, Hug. Babe wouldn't deliberately miss a game. He'd rather play ball than eat.
Then where is he?
I wish I knew. I'm worried.
Well, the big fellow's the guy who ought to be worried. I'll blister his ears plenty when he shows up, and then some. You can tell him that. Well, I've got to get down to the field.
I waited a while and then went up to the press box. All through the game, I kept my eye on the Yankee dugout, but the big fellow didn't appear. When the game was over and I followed the Yankees back to the clubhouse, Babe still hadn't shown up. I was getting worried for real. And Manager Huggins' face was as black as a thundercloud when the big fella walked in. The Babe's clothes were torn, his face was cut and bruised, and his knuckles were skinned. Huggins looked him up and down, and the players got quiet.
So you finally decided to drop in and pay us a visit, huh, Babe?
I'm sorry I missed the game, Hug, but...
But what?
I couldn't make it.
Oh, you were having too much fun brawling with your bum friends, huh?
My friends aren't bums. Anyhow, I wasn't with my friends.
Well, who were you fighting with?
Never mind.
Never mind?
Look, I wish I could tell you, Hug, but I can't.
Oh, you can't, huh? Well, I can tell you something, Mr. Big Shot. First off, I'm fining you $500.
Huh? No, wait a minute.
And if the World Series wasn't starting tomorrow, I'd fire you off the team. Now, you get this. No one man, not even Babe Ruth, can walk out on a game and then refuse to explain why. When this series is over, I'm trading you off the club. You're through. All finished as a Yankee.
Oh, Babe, what's this all about? Where were you this afternoon?
Skip it, Steve.
Skip it? Are you out of your mind? Hug's fit to be tied. Unless you square yourself in a hurry, he'll do as he said, trade you down the river after the World Series.
I may not be around after the series.
What? What do you mean?
Oh, gotta tell somebody about this. Look, Steve, you're not to print it. Or tell Hug. Promise me that?
Well, okay, Babe, shoot.
Well, when I came out of the hotel today to go to the ballpark, a fella stopped me. Just an ordinary-looking fella, but with two fingers missing on his right hand, mm-hmm. Like... Old Three Finger Brown of the Cubs. He seemed awful upset about it.
Excuse me, Babe. I mean Mr. Ruth.
Oh, Babe's okay, buddy. What can I do for you?
It's my kid, my little boy. He's awful sick. Infantile paralysis.
Oh, that's too bad.
The doctor thought that... Well, my boy's a great fan of yours. He's got a scrapbook full of pictures. The doctor thought if you could come over for a minute and see my boy at... Might help him get well.
Oh, sure. I'll come over right after the game.
Oh, can't you come now, Babe? It's just a few minutes from here, and I've got my car. I can get you back to the stadium in plenty of time for the game.
Okay, then. Let's go. We walked over to his car. It was a sedan, and he opened the door. I started to get in. Then I noticed three other guys in the back seat. I didn't like their look, Steve, but before I could do anything, the fellow behind me gave me a hard push and sent me sprawling into the car. And then one of the guys hit me behind the ear with a blackjack.
Holy smokes, then what, Babe?
Well, when I woke up, Steve, I was in a room without much furniture in it. The guy with the fingers missing, who seemed to be the boss of the crowd, was there, and three other lads. There was a gravelly-voiced little guy who held a gun on me, and two gorillas had been in the car. Well, the boss one gave me a glass of water, and then he made his problem.
Okay, babe, the Yanks are 9 of 5 favorites to win a World Series. But they can't win if you don't try, if you don't hit any home runs. So I want you not to try.
You mean you want me to throw the series? Why, you dirty...
Hey, where you are, big boy? I got a very itchy trigger. You can't scare me.
Only a jerk don't know enough to be scared sometimes, babe. You're no jerk, so listen. The Yanks are going to lose a series.
Yeah? That's what you think.
I know. When they lose, you'll get $50,000. But if you cross us up, you'll get the business.
And how?
Well, babe, what do you say?
This is what I say.
You did it! Why, you get the corner!
I knocked the gun away from the squeaky-voiced guy, dropped the boss man with a right. The two big gorillas jumped me, and then the little runt hit me with his gun butt. Pretty soon I got the gun or blackjack on the noggin, and I went to sleep again. Well, when I woke up this time, Steve, they were dumping me out of their car up near Yonkers. I managed to pick up a ride, and you know the rest, Steve.
Holy cow. But, babe, why didn't you tell that to Hug?
Oh, those mugs said if I did, they'd put a bullet in Hug, too. And I know they meant business.
Oh. Well, don't just sit there, babe. Come on, we'll go to the police.
No, Steve. I don't know who those guys are or where they are. And even if I did, they'd deny everything. It'd just cause a huge publicity stink. And if we lose the series, it might kill baseball.
And what are you going to do?
What do you suppose? I'll do my darndest to win the series, of course.
But those mugs said they'd kill you if you did.
Oh, they were just bluffing.
Don't give me that, babe. You said just before you were sure they meant business. Now, babe, there's only one thing to do. You can't play in this series.
Are you kidding?
No. Your life is at stake.
I'll save it, Steve. No lousy racketeers are going to scare me or dirty up the greatest game in the world either. I'll get out of here, please, Steve, and let me go to bed. I've got a World Series coming up tomorrow.
I'm convinced that most of the gray hairs I've got today started sprouting in that World Series. Every time the big fella made a hit, I caught my breath and listened for the sound of a pistol over the noise of the crowd. The games went to 3-3, and then the seventh and deciding game came up in the stadium. Oh, babe?
Yeah? What is it, Steve?
Look, babe, this is the deciding game. If you win it, you might...
Steve, let's not go into that again. Go on back up to the press box. I'm going out for right field.
Both pitchers were hot, and they went into the ninth inning tied, 1-1. Pennock set the enemy down in order in their ninth, and it was the Yanks' turn with the top of their batting order coming up. Combs flied out, and it was Koenig's turn. Koenig went out on an infield roller, and then you should have heard the crowd as the big fella minced up to the plate, swinging three bats. The big fella took a strike, then two balls, then he fouled off one. Then he took another ball. Here was the big one now. I found myself praying that he'd strike out and save his life. Then the pitch came, a fast one, and I closed my eyes. I heard a ringing crack. And the crowd went crazy. I opened my eyes to see the ball arch high and far into the bleachers. I was waiting for the sound of the shot, waiting to see my friend fall. My heart was hammering at my ribs as he turned third and started for the plate, taking off his cap to the howling mob. And then I felt a hand on my shoulder and I spun around. It was a man in a gray suit whom I'd seen in the stands throughout the series. Now, he said,
"We got them, Martin."
You did, sir?
Yes, all of them. Fingers Gerhardt, Joey May, his gravelly voice stooge, all of them. This was the only game they came to, the big one. They had betting receipts on them and May had a gun. I think he was getting ready to use it on Ruth.
Good Lord.
The FBI was after those rats for a long time, but we got them at last, thanks to your descriptions and the big fella's courage.
I looked back at the field. And the big fellow was just disappearing into the Yankees' dugout, surrounded by his happy, cheering teammates. He was safe. And my eyes got a little misty. The big fella had done the impossible again and made it stick.
Hey, oh, wait, oh, you man!
And there you have this adventure of Babe Ruth. Interesting and exciting, wasn't it? By the way, Steve Martin, what have you lined up for next week?
Well, next week, Jack, I'm going to tell you how the big fellow returned to the pitcher's box to catch a rat and save a brilliant young catcher from the penitentiary.
The Adventures of Babe Ruth is written by Ben Peter Freeman, produced by Woody Close, directed by Ronald Dawson, and presented by the United States Navy.
Babe Ruth's story is so bad, really. Babe is such a great character. What a corny rendition. He's up there, sick in the bed, three floors below. Street urchins. Take me out to the ground. Take me out to the ground. Even oohs, okay? In the middle of the Bronx. Anyway, upstairs. Upstairs, they're hurling baseball metaphors and cliches around like it's going out of style.
You hear those kids, Doc? They're big league.
Okay, babe.
Father Matthias?
What, babe? No one can strike you out. You're Babe Ruth.
Thanks, Doc.
Sam Levine, his friend. Slide, babe.
What the hell is that, babe?
Babe?
Yeah, Doc.
We've got a serum here. Kind of a pinch hitter, you could say.
Hey, that's a good idea, Doc.
It's never been tried on goslings, is about all so far. But, babe, if this works, then millions of people can get their last licks, too.
Doc?
Yes, babe?
This pinch hitter, can he bunt?
Babe, the metaphors are possibly going a little too far now. Bunt. In a way, I suppose he can.
What if he catches that third baseman playing a little deep, Doc? Let him lay one down, huh? How many outs?
Father Matthias, take over here. Not that much into baseball. I'm a doctor.
That's 7-14. comes the pitch. And there goes a line drive to left field. Flores after it. He leaps. It's over his head against the wall. Here comes Gilliam scoring. Brooklyn wins. Jackie Robinson is being pummeled by his teammates.
Yokohama baseball team are at the bat. Oh, they are behind 2-4. Oh, two men are out. Oh, the bases are loaded. You should hear Yokohama fans roar. If they not win this game, they lose a pennant. And this our last inning to play. One excited GI fan from Brooklyn are yelling, it's like Casey at bat today. Then upcoming to bat, our home run king. He are named DiMaggio Nishimoto. On every Japanese sports page, you will see his smiling photo. He walk out tipping his hat to howling crowd and bowing with a dignified motion. Then rubbing hands in dirt and picking up bat, he say, we're knocking ball into Pacific Ocean. But then a pitcher wind up and are throwing ball. An umpire are say, oh, strike one. Then the crowd are yelling, umpire have goofed, getting glasses for this lousy bum. The baseball announcer are looking at crowd and are worried at what he sees. So he shout into loudspeaker and say, not a throwing sake bottle at umpire, please. Nishimoto are smiling to quiet down crowd. Then he pose like hero in painting. And when he throw kisses at fans in the bleachers, 16 geisha girls are fainting. Then the pitcher are throwing very fast ball. And strike two is what umpire said. Then with a loud, juicy raspberry, people are yelling, ah, oh, dropping dead, please, honorable umpire knucklehead. Now, mighty Nishimoto are worried. He not have to be detective like Hawkshaw to know that if he are fanning out now, next season, He will be back pulling rickshaw. He are gritting his teeth and waiting for pitch. And crowd is get suddenly quiet. Policemen move slowly onto the field. This are most excellent time for big riot. The pitcher throw ball. Nishimoto he swing. And hundreds of people say later, when he swing his bat, the wind that it make are blowing hat off of many spectator. Now some places bands are praying, and happy children are shout. But there's no joy in Yokohama, for mighty Nishimoto have strikeout. He not get the bonus. Yes, mighty Nishimoto have strikeout.
Okay, well, here we are again, hey? And what can I say but play ball, okay? We are doing today a tribute to the All-Star Game, Major League All-Star Game. We're going to be taking a look at the various players of the game that have played. We're not talking about baseball this week, per se. We're talking about the men, the legends behind the men who play the great game of baseball. I'll tell you right now that I started to do this last year and I got seriously sidetracked by looking into YouTube, and I found, you would not believe this, but I found 75 songs about the Chicago Cubs last year. So I dropped everything, and the result is two bit slaps about the Chicago Cubs. You can find them on the archives list. Actually, I'm very proud of them. And I urge you to check them out if you're a baseball fan, because I still wonder about Chicago Cubs fans. How the hell did they do it? I don't know. I'm a Mets fan, and we've got our own crosses to bear, but nothing like the Cubs. So, forgetting about that now for a while, we're looking at the players of the game. We started with the Adventures of Babe Ruth. It was an old radio serial brought to you by the U.S. Navy back in, I guess, the late 30s, early 40s, something like that. And that was the episode called Kidnapped. After that, Robert Klein, the Babe Ruth story. Bill Slayback, Move Over Babe, Here Comes Henry. Natalie Cole, Did You See Jackie Robinson Hit That Ball? And Nishimoto at the Bat from Harry Carey and his six sake sippers. So we're dealing with the players today. Like I said, no team partisanship, etc. And yes, we'll get to the Yankees. We'll get to Derek Jeter. But right now, we have heroes and perhaps a few villains. So stay tuned. Enjoy. Don't touch that dial. And watch out for those inside curves.
Coming in to close out the ninth inning for the Bravos, it looks like it's going to be John Rocker. And judging from this crowd reaction, I guess this inning will be brought to you by a flashlight battery company.
John Rocker, your proctologist called. They just found your head. You've been awarded the golden rubber glove for that stupid crap you said. You got the biggest mouth in baseball, nobody could shut you up. So in New York, even in your street clothes, you probably ought to wear a cup. John, you're off your rocker, better clean out that locker, or go out and throw about 22 perfect games. They're saving you a spot next to Marge Schott in the Dips Hall of Fame. John Rocker, Detective Furman called. He knows how you feel. And I'll bet you Congressman David Dukes would probably help with your appeal. They hate to see you get suspended or have to pay that 20 grand. So if you can't close for the Braves anymore, you can start for the Ku Klux Klan. John, you're off your rocker. Thank God you don't play soccer, 'cause you'd probably get killed in a riot in the stands. If you do an interview again, Ted said he's bringing in a gay right-handed pitcher from Japan.
Everybody always picking on me.
He's got bad knees still, trying to catch Ruth. And Hammer and Hank Aaron didn't have to use the juice.
Barry Bonds, Barry Bonds, no brains all wrong. He's Barry Bonds, he's gonna get caught. Just you wait and see.
Why is everybody always picking on me?
Who's always flying over walls? Who's always shooting in the halls? Who's got tiny shriveled balls?
Guess who?
Me?
Yeah, you!
He walks in the ballpark, achy and slow, and whines to the TV, press, and even radio.
Barry Bonds, Barry Bonds, what's he on? That Barry Bonds, he's gonna get caught. Just you wait and see.
Why's everybody always picking on me?
I'm here to tell you about a baseball man who likes we haven't seen in a while. He'd flip his cap around, fire up the crowd. Earl had his very own style. 17 years in the orange and black, 2,500 games. Earl was a baseball architect, inventor of the Oriole way. Earl Weaver, the Earl of Baltimore. Well, the three-run homer was his favorite way to score. Yeah, 91 times he crossed the line, showed him the door. Earl Weaver, Earl of Baltimore. Crossed the line and the umpire gave the door.
can you give us just a few basic comments about your feelings on the game?
Well, naturally, I feel bad about losing a ball game like that. There's no way you should lose that ball game, and that just doesn't make sense.
What's your opinion of Kingman's performance?
What's my opinion of Kingman's performance? What the f*** do you think is my opinion of it? I think it was put that in. I don't opinion of his performance. He beat us with three home runs. What the f*** do you mean? What is my opinion of his performance? How can you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance? He hit three home runs. I'm f***ed off to lose the f***ing game. And you ask me my opinion of his performance. I mean, that's a tough question to ask me, isn't it? What is my opinion of his performance?
Yes, it is. I ask it, and you gave me an answer.
Well, I didn't give you a good answer because I'm mad, but I mean...
That wasn't a good question.
That's a tough question to ask me right now. What is my opinion of his performance? I mean, you want me to tell you what my opinion of his performance is?
You just did.
That's right. Guy hits three home runs against us.
Carl Yastrzemski, Carl Yastrzemski, the man they call Yes, we love him. Carl Yastrzemski, Carl Yastrzemski, Carl Yastrzemski, what power he has. Our Boston team is always on the beam, cause we got Yes. We Fenway fans, we stomp and clap our hands, and Yes is Jazz. Rival pitchers on the mound all shake. They dread each windup that they have to take. When number 8 is standing at the plate, and any swing, wow, there it goes again. Wow, there it goes again. Wow, there it goes again. A rival batter hits one off the wall, and there's Yastrzemski going for the ball. They try for two, the runner knows he's through. Ah, look at Yes! Whoa, he threw him out again. Carl Yastrzemski, Carl Yastrzemski, Carl Yastrzemski, the man they call Yes. Carl Yastrzemski, Carl Yastrzemski, he's the idol of Boston, Mass. On Beacon Hill, he gives them quite a thrill. In Southie, too, there's lots of whoop-de-doo. In the North End, they call Carl friend, and they hope the season'll never end. From Wellesley Way, they come to watch him play, and on Cape Cod, they take a holiday from all about. They come to shout, yell for Yes to hit one out. The state of Maine is going quite insane, and in Vermont, it's only Yes they want. From every state, they come and wait to see Yastrzemski at home plate. Our Boston team, it's always on the beam, cause we got Yes. We Fenway fans, we stomp and clap our hands, and Yes is Jazz. Although Yastrzemski is a lengthy name, it fits quite nicely in our Hall of Fame. We love him so. In Boston, we all know that when he swings, yeah, here we go again.
I had a great collection of baseball cards, but they're now in the garbage in my backyard.
What took me 10 years to collect, in just 10 minutes were totally wrecked.
My baseball cards came to an end in a couple of gulps by a man's best friend.
My darn dog, that stupid Bow Wow, turned my baseball cards into puppy chow.
I left the doggy door open last night, my stupid dog came in for a bite. I call him Jaws cause he eats everything in sight. My feller, my rookie Ozzie Smith, my 3D hologram card of Fred McGriff, Fingers Fox, Fazio, and Old Ty Cobb, Louie Aparicio, the Gibson's Kirk and Bob, Bart Mason Mantle, and even Norm Cash are now out back in a pile of trash. What's worst all, I'm really dying. My dog ate Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, a rare 68.
midnight snack. How can there be a God when my baseball cards are now a dog spit wad?
They're with my investment every last dime when my canine decided to die.
That Pinky Mutt makes me want to scream. He had complete sets almost every team. I had tops and players, all classics, but they're now somewhere in my dog's gut.
That furry four-legged bottomless pit chewed my baseball cards into kibbles and fits.
What he didn't eat is covered with puppy spit. Darling Dibbles, DiMaggio's,
Dom and Joe,
Roberts, Raider, Riddick, Rose, and Canseco, Baker Boggs, Bobby Brown, and Big John Crook, a Bob Welch rookie worth $1,000.
Mark and Lala, Lava, Jetto, Griffey's dad and son, and Maris hitting his 61st home run.
But the worst of all, what's got me crying, my dog ate Nolan Ryan. Bobby Tolan card with his picture upside down, Ebbets Field Polo Grounds, and the old St. Louis Browns, Valenzuela Valentine, and Andy Van Slyke, Barbara Coleman, and Rizzuto with Vinny and the Mike. Williams drew the musial, a favorite to the fans, Fender Carving, David Green, and other also-rans. But the biggest role of all, the one that's got me sighing, my doggy, Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan.
He ate Gilliam, William, Billy, and Ted. Clemens, Klein, and Clark, both Will and Fred. Steve Garvey, Harvey Keene, chewed up in little pieces. Robertson, Wilbur, Jackie Brooks, and Frank. Home Run Baker and Ernie Banks. Catfish Hunter, Dizzy Dean, and Jesse Hanks. He ate the whole darn baseball Hall of Fame. Killebrew, Powell, Lugo, Crisis, Lou Gehrig, Koufax, Steve Sachs, Classic Yogi Berra, Bill Terry, Gaylor Perry, and Darryl Straw, Barry, Max Carey, Lazzari, and the Wright, George, and Harry.
Well, our story starts in Texas, where he's tempered by the heat. This skinny Alvin boy believes his fastball can't be beat, so he brings it and he brings it, and it passes every test. They're talking he's a wild man, might be the fastest in the West. Well, he's drafted by New York, he's gonna pitch up there in Shea. With those amazing Mets, he'll help him take it all the way. He gets a World Series ring, he stays modest, he don't boast. Now he's off to California, where he'll make history on the coast. Nolan Ryan, he's a hero to us all. Nolan Ryan, he stands straight and he stands tall. He don't mess around, boys, he just throws a mean fastball. Tom Morgan is the angel, gets known in second gear. Then he pitches four no-hitters in about as many years. He's working for Gene Autry, they're calling him the Ryan Express. He throws one ball 100. Now he's the fastest in the West. But after 8 years on the left coast, he says he wants to come home. So he signs on with the Astros, he'll bring magic to the dome. As he throws his fifth no-hitter, they're talking about he might be the best. In Texas, people know that he's the fastest in the West. Nolan Ryan, he's a hero to us all. Nolan Ryan, he stands straight and he stands tall. He don't mess around, boys, he just throws a mean fastball. Now he's a Texas Ranger, but he don't tote no gun. He'll mow you down with a heater, you smell leather here at home. He throws his six no-hitter, the Oakland A's just met Big Tex. Now they're gonna judge all the rest, boys, against the fastest in the West. Now let's count up some numbers. He's 43 years of age, he got 5,200 strikeouts, six no-hitters to date. There's 57 shutouts, right up against 300 wins. And on the very first ballot, the Hall of Fame's gotta take him in. Nolan Ryan, he's
he's a hero to us all. Nolan Ryan, he stands straight and he stands tall. He don't mess around, boys, he just throws a mean fastball. Nolan Ryan, he's a hero to us all. Nolan Ryan, he stands straight and he stands tall. He don't mess around, boys, he just throws a mean fastball.
After Christmas in 54, the greatest shortstop to ever play was born. A fleet-footed switch-hitting acrobat, he's the Wizard of Oz, there's no doubt about that.
Hey, Ozzy!
Catch that ball.
Hey, Ozzy!
You're the best of all. Osborne Earl, now that's his name, brought a brand new level to the game.
Hey, Ozzy!
Cardinals knew they got a special gift when he took the field with his backflip. Diving left to right, soaring up and down on the yellow brick road to Cooperstown.
Hey, Ozzy!
Yeah, catch that ball.
Hey, Ozzy!
You're the best of all. The Wizard of Oz, now that's his name. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Hey, Ozzy!
Known for his fielding, he learned to hit. In the 85 playoffs, gave the Dodgers a fit. But sort of thought this was just a hoax, till Jack Buck said, go crazy, folks.
Hey, Ozzy!
Playoff MVP.
Hey, Ozzy!
He can bunt or he can take you deep. Try going up the middle, he'll make you pay by turning your hit into a double play.
Hey, Ozzy!
Frankie Frisch, Enos, Red and Dizzy, Stan the Man, Luke Brock and Gibby. They're making his plaque and etching his face so the Wizard of Oz can take his place.
Hey, Ozzy!
He's number one with love.
Hey, Ozzy!
He's got 13 gold gloves. He played in 15 All-Star games. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Hey, Ozzy!
Nazis, but the Jim Crow laws remained, and there was talk of staging marches, talk of civil rights, and there was talk about a Negro playing baseball with the whites. Well, he walked into the clubhouse, and then the card players quit playing. Everybody stopped in the middle of whatever they were saying. And it was just like when the sheriff walks into the saloon and he says, my name is Eddie, as he looks around the room. This man's here to play baseball, the manager said to the team. We're all gonna have to live with this, oh, that's not what I mean, you know what I mean. And they all did, went without saying, and card players looked at their hands and they went on with their playing. Well, they ran him off the field before a game in Birmingham one night. They made him sit up in the grandstands in the section marked for whites. In his Cleveland Buckeyes uniform, it was a new twist on the law. The marshals kept their eyes on him and the hecklers ate him raw. Eddie Clapp, you should've run the bases in reverse. A white man in the Negro Leagues, well, that had to be a first. He could not ride the same buses, stay in the same motels, and he could not eat in the same restaurants. He couldn't have mixed clientele. So while Jackie played for Brooklyn and wore the Dodger blue, Eddie crossed the color line, the one without a cue. A white man in the Negro Leagues might as well have been a Jew. And now you mention the name of Eddie Clapp and most everyone says who.
Alrighty, as we make our way down the lineup here, I'm going to stop and bring you up to date in case you're not keeping score at home. We're dealing with the All-Star Game. Players, great, and maybe not so great. For example, we started with the Ballad of John Rocker from Tim Wilson. Rocker's not on everybody's favorite list, although I do think he made the All-Star team once or twice. Made a lot more headlines in New York due to his uncouth remarks about people of color, the subways, etc. New York City in general as a crime haven. Came tragically close, dangerously close, to joining the New York Mets one spring. Fortunately, he washed out and pretty much was never heard from again. So, John, if you're out there... After Tim Wilson, we heard from Someone Anonymous and the Barry Bonds Steroids song. Story of Earl Weaver from Jack Flack. And a few words from Tommy Lasorda on the abilities of Dave Kingman. Of course, Tommy not only bled Dodger blue, he spoke blue every chance he got. I met him once and I said, "Hey, Tommy, it's good to see you." He said, "Yeah, fuck you, kid." Love him. Great guy. After that, Randy Now, Carl Yastrzemski. Scary Gary Allen, My Dog Ate Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan is my personal hero, by the way. I have a picture of him here in my studio that I look at all the time. True story. After that, Jerry Jeff Walker, Nolan Ryan. He's a hero to us all, not just me. The Wizard of Oz from Sam Bush and Chuck Brodsky, The Ballad of Eddie Clapp. And that's a true story, by the way. Eddie Clapp was the first white man to play in the Negro Leagues back in 1946 sometime. I could not find out whether he actually made it to the majors, but he did end up in prison and died in 1981. So it goes. Anyway, more songs coming up, and we will be getting to the Yankees and Derek Jeter. Just hold your horses.
ass. You're overpaid with zero class. So run fast as you can, off to LA's where you'll go. It's time to say goodbye. We finally ditched you. This morning is a better day, because we know you'll go away. 93.7 Mics, glad that Boston finally gets to say goodbye. 'Cause your work ethic's crappy, oh Manny. Will you claim that your knee is still aching when you get to LA, oh Manny? A mistake's what the Dodgers are making. They'll see that.
China. He's dragging his China. through the dirt and over by the backstop to help the world's hurt feelings get healed. Hank Greenberg and Jackie Robinson are hitting grounders to the kids in the field.
Pacing the floor, searching for things to say. I just lost my hero on a cold New Year's Day. Called the local paper to verify the news. I've been watching every channel, but they all give me the blues. I saw him play his first game back in 1955. 18 years had come between, but he still had the same great drive. The first few words my daughter could say were his first and his last name. When I'd come home from working late, she'd say, "Daddy, they won the game." Watched that man for 18 years, he could hit, run and throw. But now to think we lost him on a plane that had to go. He come tearing round the bases, letting nothing stand in his way. That's the way he lived his life up till that final day. Last year I gave him a statue that friends had made for me. I also wrote a little note that I wish the world could see. May every son of every man, if playing ball shall be, have the pride, the poise, and the grace of Roberto Clemente. That man for 18 years he could hit, run and throw. But now to think we've lost him on a plane he said had to go. He come tearing down the bases, letting nothing stand in his way. But that's the way he lived his life up till that final day. He made it home.
He made it home.
Oh God, Roberto made it home. Yes, he made it home.
He made it home.
No more in the field of Roberto roam. 'Cause he made it home.
Home.
Yeah, God, Roberto's safely home. He made it home. Yeah, he made it home. No more in the field of Roberto roam. 'Cause he made it home. Roberto, Roberto, safely home.
he made it home. He made it home. No more in right field will Roberto roam.
Are you leaving, Billy Martin? Seems that life is just a game. You have managed to keep winning just to lose what you have gained. It's back to Denver, Billy Martin, going back to start again. You thought that they were with you, but you didn't find your twin. Put your hand in your back pocket, look them in the eyes, and tell them you can't win them all. But you're damn sure that you tried. Politics and poker are part of every day. But the boys in the front office ain't seeing things that way. Put a thousand sheets of paper with 100,000 names. Tell you that we're not all thankless and we need you just the same. Put your hand in your back pocket, look 'em in the eye. Tell 'em you can't win 'em all, but you're damn sure that you tried. Are you leaving, Billy Martin? It's a shame, it's a shame. Are you leaving, Billy Martin? It's a shame, it's a shame. Are you leaving?
Nobody looks like him, nobody walks like him, nobody don't read books like him, nobody talks like him, nobody says the things he says, the way he says the things he says, no one, only Yogi. Though it doesn't always sound like what it seems, we will always seem to know just what he means. Nobody's smart like him, nobody's funnier, nobody has a heart like him, nobody's moneyer, nobody plays the same as him, nobody knows the game like him, no one, only Yogi. With the strikes on from his toes up to his head, he would take the good and hit the bad instead. Nobody looks like him, nobody walks like him, nobody don't read books like him, nobody talks like him, nobody says the things he says, the way he says the things he says, no one, only Yogi. No one. Only Yogi.
Well, Jose, have you finished all your Christmas shopping?
It's all done, Hammerhead. All my gifts are bought, wrapped, and under the tree, so don't step on it.
And have you told Santa Claus what you'd like this year?
I never got to see him.
How come?
I was standing in line at Macy's department store, 9 o'clock in the morning, to see Santa Claus, to present my Christmas list. In front of me stood a gentleman, wearing a pinstripe suit, temples of gray in his hair, and a button on his lapel that said, "Don't ask me about Billy." Well, you can imagine my surprise when before my very eyes, he sat down upon Santa Claus's lap. And as he began to speak, I thought I saw a little tear in his eye. So I leaned a little closer so I could overhear. because I had just cleaned my ears that morning, there was no mistaking what I heard him say.
You heard him say something?
That's right. With these ears, left and right, respectively. Hard to believe, but true. Oh, please send me Reggie for Christmas. I'll manage to keep him this time. I won't let anyone meddle him. I promise he'll never be fine. If you send me Reggie for Christmas, I promise I won't interfere. Please send me Reggie for Christmas. Maybe we'll win it next year. While Santa was sympathetic, but he'd have to consult with his agent, and he just couldn't promise much. As this dejected man walked away, I suddenly recognized him from television. I remembered him always saying, "You're hired, you're fired, you're hired, you're fired." I felt really badly for the guy, and wanted to cheer him up, so I gave up my place in line and caught up with him. And I said, "Gee, sir, you still have the best baseball team in New York, in the American League."
You didn't really say that, did you?
Sure I did, Henry.
Oh, jeez. Then what happened?
I told him I didn't mean to dent his pride, but that his goose was cooked. And Reggie likes sunny California anyway. And as he climbed into his limousine and he was chauffeured out of sight, I could still hear his words wishing for Reggie tonight.
Please send me Reggie for Christmas. I'll manage to keep him this time. I won't let anyone meddle him. I promise he'll never be fine. If you send me Reggie for Christmas, I promise I won't interfere. Please send me Reggie for Christmas. Maybe we'll win it next year.
The Big Apple sure lost some crunch. He's eating his own words for lunch. Sorry, Henry.
Right in the face.
I'm sorry.
Jeez. What have you got in your pocket?
Oh, these are my baseball cards. Let me see. Nettles, Cerrone, Randolph. What do I do with these?
What's that?
What do I do with Bob Lemon, Gene Michael, Billy Martin?
Well, don't worry. Hang on to them. They'll be back sooner or later.
Just like Yogi says, it ain't over till it's over.
Derek Jeter here for Zip and Hit Pro, the great new hitting trainer that's guaranteed to improve your swing and make you a better hitter.
Zip and Hit Pro allows you to take batting practice almost anywhere. The batter attaches Zip and Hit Pro's anchor end to a pole, tree, or fence and sets it to the desired height. The pitcher pulls the durable nylon cord tight, then it's just zip and hit.
Zip and Hit Pro delivers fastballs, changeups, curves, and sliders at speeds up to 65 miles an hour. The nylon cord acts as a level swing guide to develop great line drive swings that make you a better hitter. You get a perfect pitch every time with Zip and Hit Pro, so you can quickly perfect your swing in every part of the strike zone.
Zip and Hit Pro is 100% guaranteed to make you a better hitter or your money back from the makers of Hitaway.
Around. I want to tell you now about the kid from Kalamazoo. Well, that's a Michigan, but he's a Yankee now. Let's give a cheer for number two. He's got a swing that's just like dynamite and a smile that can't be beat. See him running catch up in the Bronx tonight. That shortstop, so, so sweet. He's Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter. That shortstop, so, so sweet. Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter, that shortstop, so, so sweet. I double off the wall, I triple down the line, home to the fans and right. He
He always drives him home and gets a stolen base for the winning run that night. You gotta see the way he plays the game. He makes the people yell and shout.
Ground ball in the hole, Jeter shoots and throws.
Cause in his love, man, you are out.
Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter, that shortstop from Joe Street. Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter, that shortstop from so sweet.
From the heart of Minnesota, Orange and Wake Park, out in California too. But there's simply no denying Derek does it all. Don't you wish that he belonged to you? Don't you wish that he belonged to you?
I do.
Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter, the shortstop so so sweet. Derek Jeter.
And now you know the score, so don't forget his name. But turn sons and daughters now about the Yankee great who stood there at the plate. He's on his way to Cooperstown.
Derek Jeter,
Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter, the shortstop's on so sweet. Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter, that shortstop's on so sweet. That shortstop's on so sweet. That shortstop's on so sweet.
All right, it doesn't look like we're going to go to extra innings here today, so let me get in here and wrap things up for you so that we can make a clean break of things and get out of here before the crowd comes after us. We started that set with another anonymous person, Oh Manny. You know who that's about. I don't got to tell you. After that, the Tinklers, Hank Greenberg and Jackie Robinson. Paul New, Roberto. That's I guess I could call that a KBC radio exclusive, because I actually own that single. And you know what? I'm afraid to go anywhere near it. That's scary, man. And then we started with the Yankee stuff. We started with Randy Now and the Ode to Billy Martin. Billy Martin, I adored. I hated the Yankees. At least, you know, once the Mets were born, I could not stand the Yankees, detested the Yankees, but I absolutely adored Billy Martin. For reasons of my own, I'd rather not talk about it now, okay? So just leave me alone. It's not an issue. I don't know why I even brought it up. Dennis Massa after that, Only Yogi. And I've met Yogi a few times. We're from the same town, Montclair, New Jersey. And he's just as sweet in real life as he is in all those bumbling commercials you see him in. Just thought you'd like to know. Jose Smith and the Hammerhead. The only baseball Christmas song that I know about, Reggie for Christmas. And then a couple of things from Derek Jeter. And although I find it interesting that although Derek had his 3,000th hit about 24 hours ago, that YouTube is not crawling with songs about him and his wonderful achievement. I think it really took, it was really a class thing for him to do it with a home run and to go 5 for 5 and win the game with a hit. You know, you just can't make up stuff like that. So, Derek, congratulations. Tomorrow I'm going to go back to hating your guts, but for now, you're the man, all right? And that was a commercial from Derek way back in God knows when. That was the Zip and Hit Baseball Trainer. And then the Sin City Swing Orchestra featuring Nadia Washington on vocals. And that was the Kid from Kalamazoo, the Derek Jeter song. And Derek was born right here in New Jersey, in Pequannock, which is about maybe 8 or 10 miles from where I'm sitting right now. And moved to Kearney and then moved to Kalamazoo, Michigan when he was 4 years old. And the rest is history. So that does it for us this week. A couple of mystery tunes for you. No big mysteries. You'll figure them both out really quickly. So all I can say is may the best team win on the All-Star game. And who cares? Meantime, I'll see you next week. Bye.
I was asking you, sir, why it is that baseball wants this bill passed.
I would say I wouldn't know, but I would say the reason why they'd want it passed is to keep baseball going as the highest baseball sport that has gone into baseball, and from the baseball angle. I'm not going to speak of any other sport. I'm not in here to argue about other sports. I'm in the baseball business. It's been run cleaner than any baseball business that was ever put out in the 100 years at the present time.
Well, Mr. Mantle, do you have any observations with reference to the applicability of the antitrust laws to baseball?
My views are just about the same as Casey's.
Heeny Majeski, Johnny G, Eddie Juiced, Johnny Pesky, Thornton Lee, Danny Gardella, Van Lingle Munglo, Whitey Karowski, Max Lanier, Eddie Waitkus, and Johnny Vandermeer. Bob Estalella, Van Lingle Mungo, Augie Bergamo, Sigmund Jacuki, Big Johnny Mize, and Barney McCoskey, Hal Trosky, Augie Gullin, and Pinky May, Stan Hack and Frenchie Bordagaray, Phil Cavaretta, George McQuinn, Howard Pollett, and Early Wynn, Roy Campanella, Van Lingle Augie Bergamo, Sigmund Jacuki, Big Johnny Mize, and Barney McCoskey, Hal Trosky, John Antonelli, Ferris Fane, Frankie Crosetti, Johnny Sane, Harry Brackeen, and Lou Boudreaux, Frankie Gustine, and Claude Passo, Eddie Basinski, Ernie Lombardi, Huey Mulcahy, Van Lingle, Van Lingle,
to Williams. Everybody quiet now here at Fenway Park after they gave him a standing ovation of 2 minutes, knowing that this is probably his last time at bat. One out, nobody on, last of the eighth inning. Jack Fisher into his windup. Here's the pitch. Williams swings, and there's a long drive to deep right. That ball is going, and it is gone. A home run for Ted Williams in his last time at bat in the Major League.